listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. It's time for some worldview watching, trying to discern what's going on around us with your Christian faith, not be deceived by these present evil times. On Mondays, we always have Dr. Bob Weiss with us of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis to talk about some life issues, but we also have special guest in studio, Pastor Salmanik of Lutherans for Life, joining us as well to kind of converse with Pastor Weiss and figure out, well, how you should think about what's going on in the world around you. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning, and good morning, Bob. It's good to be with you again.
Good morning, Pastor Salmanik. Hey, we're don't forget, Pastor Fisk. You're in this trifecta too. So.
That's right. I am here, but I'm really looking forward to hearing, particularly what Pastor Salmanik has to say about some of these issues that you bring up. I certainly care about them, but it's not my full-time job, and right now it is the full-time job that Pastor Salmanik does with Lutherans for Life. So you were mentioning you got some euthanasia stuff coming through the news.
First I want to, what we do, Pastor Salmanik, is kind of run through what's going on in the world here. So right now, out of the journal Science, in the United States, and this will be no surprise to any of us and the listeners, there's a yellow light now for embryo editing. So embryonic human beings, I always call them human beings instead of just embryos.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like they're going to be allowing this. They're going to kind of try to restrict it, they say, the couples who have certain genetic disorders, primarily single gene recessive disorders, you know, like cystic fibrosis. So, but be that as it may, this, of course, is opening the door for more discussion, the so-called slippery slope issue of gene editing for sperm and eggs and designer babies, which, of course, already occurs in a very broad sense of the way in over 450 fertility clinics. So this is not going to go away. And again, I'm just going to pop this in, and Pastor Salmanik can add to this. It all goes back to what it means to be human or who is a human being, especially after the article came out in the Wall Street Journal about Adam and Eve and how they demonstrate the love for each other. It's a very good article. It was an excellent article in the Wall Street Journal this last week. I'm happy to send it to you, Pastor Salmon, if you haven't read it. It's really quite good in one sense. But they also get into the Talmud, how they call Adam a hermaphrodite because his sex isn't determined, but of course they haven't read the Bible yet where it says, let us create man.
Right.
I think a man is a male. But
right.
So anyway, that's something that I know some people that listen to this read the Wall Street Journal. Several of in the church that I'm serving right now as interim pastor do that. Now, the other thing is regarding this gene editing, the deaf community now here in the United States in it's a blog I read periodically called Impact Ethics. They are very concerned about gene editing in terms of what it could do to their culture, that it could kill their community and their language as well. Because one thing I've learned talking in front of people who are deaf is that you always call them deaf or hard of hearing. They're hearing impaired. So that's an issue for listeners who have families who are deaf. Don't panic. But I'm just telling you that the deaf community now is starting to kind of deal with this because that half of the world's estimated 7,000 languages, they believe, are in danger of disappearing. But from the standpoint of teaching, this goes back to teach kids, and I think we need more teaching about the Tower of Babel in the city. And then the whole issue, two more small issues here.
Well, I'm just going to pause you for a sec, Dr. Weiss. Let Salmanik respond to some of these things. What are your thoughts, Pastor Salmanik?
Well, anytime we have advances in medical technology, it can be a two-edged sword. On the one hand, as Christians, as the Christian church and the body of Christ, we remain sensitive and empathetic to those who struggle with diseases of the flesh of any kind. The impairments and the brokenness that comes upon us all because of the presence of sin in the world is lamentable, is regrettable, and it's a cause of grief for all of us, both those who experience it directly and those of us who love them. And so anytime there is a medical technology which promises to be able to alleviate some of the suffering that we experience because of our fallen nature, there's a part of us that wants to rejoice. All good things come from God. Every good gift comes from the Father in heaven. On the other hand, though, we also know our sinful nature, that we have a tendency to take all good things and turn them into idols and abuse them. And I think that is the danger in genetic therapies of all kinds. Certainly there are some redeemable aspects of these medical technologies, in which there is a responsible use that would allow us, again, to alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters, our neighbors, who are struggling under the burdens of diseases of the flesh. And as far as we can take that without violating the gifts that God gives to us in His Word, we do that rejoicing and with gratitude, and we do that motivated by love for our neighbors and especially those who deal with genetic conditions, who have that running in their family, who when they procreate, their children are afflicted with that. But the problem is that it can be used for so much evil as well. And when we get into the area of tinkering with or altering what it means to be a human being, or we need to remember that there are other, we are a human community. We are one body, and everything we do affects our neighbors. And so pursuing some of those medical technologies might have effects on people that we can't foresee, or may result in damage or death to our embryonic neighbors, as you say, these tiny unborn persons. And so being cautious as we approach those things, on the one hand, being hopeful that there might be something about these technologies that's useful, but on the other hand, recognizing that sometimes even in the development of the technology itself, it can work against the gifts that God has given us in His Word.
So my question here, and because I don't know much about gene therapy, is gene therapy abortifacient or potentially abortifacient in the same way that, say, in vitro fertilization requires the making of more embryos than you actually really need? Is it gene therapy works the same way?
In some cases.
Okay.
In some cases, gene therapy is already being used to treat a variety of conditions. It becomes a little bit more dangerous when you're talking about embryonic gene therapy, because embryos are so fragile. Those human beings are fragile at those states, and we've got to be careful and in developing those technologies, because that research is a process of trial and error, often results in severe damage to or death to those embryos, and that is impermissible for us who are Christians who want to receive the gift of life as God gives it.
Dr. Weiss, you had two other issues?
Yeah, one, this involves Iowans. Won't you like this, Pastor Solomon? you're probably aware that the Right to Die Society is pushing for this in Iowa, and so there's tension there. In fact, the statistics on this, and I'm sure you're aware of this, 59, this is just recent in March, 59% of Iowans favor allowing terminally ill to end their own lives, and this included, believe it or not, a slim majority of Republicans at 51%. Having said that, I would, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, but when Neil Gorsuch was nominated for the Supreme Court Justice, Associate Supreme Court Justice, I went in to see what this guy has written, because he's very conservative on life issues. He has this book out called The Future of Assisted Suicide and Euthanasia. And I would encourage our readers, it's a very, very good book. He believes that all life is intrinsically valuable. Now, I haven't gotten into his definition of that, but from his Christian viewpoint, I suspect this is where he's coming. But he actually changes the word from assisted suicide to assisting suicide, which I think is more cogent to what the situation is. So in Iowa, maybe Pastor Somnick would like to comment on that. I wasn't aware of this, but the assisted suicide tentacles are obviously continuing to reach itself out to not just to the state, six states we have, including Washington, D.C., but now into Iowa.
Actually, there's quite a few states where over the past couple of years, the supporters of physician-assisted suicide have been really pushing an agenda very hard. I was one of those. I'm always skeptical about polls, especially after this most recent election season. And we've seen that when it comes to physician-assisted suicide and other life issues, it does matter the way those questions are phrased. You know, there's a difference between asking an audience, do you support giving a chronically suffering person medical aid in dying? Or then it's a different question if you ask, do you support allowing a physician to prescribe a lethal dose of medication to bring about the death of a patient who wants to die? So those are difficult issues. And that I just believe that the Christian Church, the gospel of Jesus Christ, has such a better response to suffering than suicide. And assisted suicide, although it is assisted and in some cases assisted by a physician, is still suicide. And we as compassionate neighbors and fellow citizens, we've known for a long time how irresponsible and unloving it is. When a person expresses a desire to die because they feel that for whatever reason their life is not worth living anymore, it's very unloving to say to them, you know what, you might be on to something. Perhaps I can help you make yourself dead. As Christians, we come alongside our brothers and sisters, our neighbors who are suffering, and we show them the compassion of Christ and declare unto them the gospel and remind them that Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and rose from the dead, is the God who is capable of redeeming this situation, who will walk beside them through the valley of the shadow of death itself, and his body will reach out and surround them as well in very tangible, practical ways to help alleviate their suffering to the best of the ability that we have. And I always find that community is a better alternative than autonomy. The primary argument that's made in favor of assisted suicide, which does resonate with people in a country like the United States, where freedom is such an appreciated gift from God, the argument that's made that each person should have the right to determine his or her own destiny, the freedom to define, to express himself or herself. You know, the old slogan, it's my body, it's my choice, applies as well at the end of life as it does at the beginning. The problem is that it's a lie from the devil. It's Satan's way of tricking a person into thinking that you're all alone. You know, saying it's my body, I have the right to do with it as I please, is just the other side of the coin of saying there's nobody here that's going to be affected or that's going to be effective in helping me besides myself. The gospel says God and his people are involved in your suffering as well. And so we continue to offer community and purpose in the midst of suffering. The gospel is a love from God and a mercy from God, which is so great that it is able to function even in the midst of suffering. So we remain undeterred in trying to defend the lives, respect and protect the lives, even of people who have been blinded by the devil into believing their lives are not worth much.
Final thoughts, Pastor Weiss?
Yeah, I would just I love the comment that Pastor had made regarding the body of Christ and the community. As St. Paul says, yes, we're individuals, but we're all members of the same body, so that one suffers, all suffers.
Mm-hmm.
And hence, back to Galatians 6:2, I want to be your burden. So,
right.
I appreciate all those comments because that's where we have to go, and that's where we begin, too, with Jesus Christ.
Final thoughts?
It's such a hopeful and joyful message that the gospel has to offer, that our God is big enough to take on these situations which we think are hopeless. If he took the worst thing that happened in the history of humankind, the execution of an innocent man who is the Son of God in the flesh, and he turned that into the greatest gift that he could give, the forgiveness of sins and the hope of eternal life in his resurrection, then certainly that God can also reach his hand into our situations, however difficult they are, and through his means of grace can redeem them.
My guest, Pastor Salamink of Lutherans for Life, wonderful organization, definitely worth supporting, and Dr. Bob Weiss of Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Worldview watching on life issues for this morning. Despair is all the world has to offer, and assisted suicide says, yep, you're despairing, you should. Bye. Christianity says, no, there's an answer to the despair. There's light in the darkness. There is a God who loves you and doesn't want you to be this way forever. In fact, he doesn't bring death. He brings resurrection from the dead. He's going to do that when he comes back. Universe, our Lord's coming back soon. It may not be today, and it may not be tomorrow, but in either case, I'm your host, Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I look forward to waking up with you at the dawn.